Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Adam.
It's me, Adam. You know, your brain. We're jumping right now, and I thought we should have a little chat. It's been a wild day, my friend. You got to play the 32X, and you broke it. Good for you. But also, what's up with Chadriel? That was awesome. He really made our group bond together in a way that we've never done it before, and maybe we just needed an angel that weirded us out to, like, really get us connected, but I feel really close to my pals. Even CEJ, which I never thought I'd say that out loud in my brain. So I guess it's not out loud. But we got some work to do. I don't know. We could lose a couple friends. I mean, not like death, but like we could get into fight again. That's kind of our thing. But I have a good feeling about this black site. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Oh, all right. Brain, I gotta get going. We're about to jump out of this. Sega!
Friends in an alternate future, welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use dice to tell a story of furtive freshmen and dangerous domains in the real and actual 2006. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries. Let's meet our players.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rashawn Nadine Scott, and my character is Shamanda Felt, the Initiate. And I see your true colors shining through. But don't worry, you can just tie my sweatshirt around your waist until we get you some new pants.
Hi, I'm Jeff Murdoch, and I play Adam Miller, the Mundane. And somebody wearing a circle, triangle, and square hat invited me to a deserted island to win a limited edition hat in a game of life and death called the Lid Games.
Hi, I'm Erin Rain. I play Crashly Grenadine, the Chosen, or is she? Speaking of which, Crashly probably wouldn't have chosen to experience this particular body in this particular way, but she'll take what she can get.
Hi, everyone. My name is Claire Linick. I play Susan Wexler, the expert. And we learned a lot of lessons from Chadriel. The main one being that all my exes are obsessed with me.
Hi, I'm Alan Linick, and I play CEJ, the Mundane. And my fuck, marry, kill for the show Heroes is Siler.
Where we left off, the five of you had just left a portal from Chadriel's extra-dimensional space. Walking out into, well, Claire, you describe for us, what is the air like in Barora, Nebraska?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a little cool and it's foggy for some reason. I'm not quite used to that. But luckily, there is a scientist from Barora, Nebraska, who is famous for inventing the strobe light. So there's always a strobe light going through the town center.
Yeah, that's right. Whoa. Which is especially horrifying now as you watch from the small. I imagine that Barora is not necessarily super hilly or anything. So from the slight elevation of where this bounce portal is, you all look out and you see the small town of Barora has been. So for the kids, you don't necessarily know a ton about it. Barora is talked about often kind of the way that like Three Mile Island is in terms of how it's discussed nationally. There was some sort of big accident there, and it is now closed down as a Superfund site where it's kind of undergoing this long cleanup by the federal government, supposedly. There's always rumors swirling of like, oh, what really happened? But broadly, it's just a place that people aren't able to access or go. And as you look at it, that's interesting because you don't really see evidence of like environmental collapse or anything. It's not like looking at a nuclear reaction or anything. It looks very much like if we look at pictures of Chernobyl, where it's just nature has overgrown this small town. Buildings are in various states of disrepair, falling apart. The streets are cracked and pitted with plants growing through them. You see, though, in the middle of that, right in downtown where this strobe is continuing to happen, it looks like the downtown area of Barora was just plucked from the earth and replaced in its spot was a government facility. Large, nondescript concrete buildings surrounded by high fence. And it looks like somebody has formed some sort of black site operation here. Obviously, Susan, you believe that either Barb is responsible for this or has taken this spot over. The other thing that is quickly apparent is something has gone horribly wrong. You can see there is a giant hole ripped in the side of the fence that surrounds the complex downtown. You can see there is furtive shapes moving in and around the area of the town. Like, you can see something cross the street and it's sort of rolling on its way through. There's a brief shadow in the fog as something flies overhead, and you just get this sense of movement all centering on and towards this complex downtown. And then you also hear the rat-a-tat of semi-automatic gunfire shooting and then quickly clipping off as though something or someone has intervened and stopped it from continuing. Dimly, you can hear screams. This is a spot where there was very rigid control, and that very rigid control is starting or has already failed. You don't necessarily know why in this moment, but you realize this is not a stable space that you are entering into. Susan, how much do you explain to the kids the significance of Barora, Nebraska?
And this is Claire speaking. Mm-hmm. Can you give me the rundown of the significance again?
Absolutely, of course. Barora, Nebraska is where Susan and Barb were born. To get through all of it, let's see here. What we found out in season one is that Layla sacrificed Janice, and in doing so, used that energy to split a zygote in the womb of Mrs. Wexler, creating a set of twins where before there was only one, and the second twin being Susan. So I don't know that you guys necessarily know that or not, but we as listeners know that Susan and Barb were born in Barora, Nebraska in
1962.
No.
And that you two grew up in Barora, Nebraska, that Susan, what we discovered at the end of season one was that you created the Bondelgrab. What you did was you merged a few different small cryptids together using magic.
The Ba, the Andel, and the Grab.
To try to create something impressive that would handle monsters on its own. But you didn't think through the consequences of it because you were trying to impress a boy that Barb had stolen from you.
Makes sense.
And you instead created basically an invasive species that eats through and overwhelms and replaces local cryptid populations, which is the Bondelgrab. What we've also discovered is that the Bondelgrab, once it has consumed any cryptids and merged with those, it will merge with people as well. So you created basically the blob, or like the thing, and it wiped out Barora, Nebraska before Lamau was able to come in and properly take out the Bondelgrab, you know, burn it back and reduce it. So that happened in Barora, and then it started to go national. And then eventually, Susan, you figured out a way to use magic to stop the Bondelgrab from continuing to bud. And then you kind of made it your mission to go around and kill off every remaining Bondelgrab bud. So the Bondelgrab, you didn't like stop it. You just stopped it from reproducing. And that In the last year, the Bondelgrab has started reproducing again. You think that's likely because of Barb somehow using your books. So the Bondelgrab has now become a threat again. And Tori Powles has told you that as well, that the Bondelgrab is going out nationally and possibly even internationally to continue subsuming and merging with everything, basically.
Okay. Well, then I think in this situation, I'm gonna play this how I play Uno. I'm just going to lay all my cards on the table.
Wait, that's not how you play Uno.
That's Susan, you cheated.
That's not
cheating.
You have
seven wilds.
You just gave up.
Okay, well, now I think what we need to focus on is the Bondo grab of the situation and not my Uno tactics, but okay.
That's not a tactic.
Well, it's... I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't know, kids. It's so hard to keep up with the youth.
So you wanted to bring us back to your, like, your birthplace and show us around the town, and I guess Barb is here somewhere, like, causing a ruckus?
I can feel that she's here 100%, and we just got to get those books back.
And Tyler. I will say, Miss Wexler, I remember I asked you, do you want me to take down Barb if I see her? Should I take a shot?
Now, we have talked about this privately, and I'm going to say it again in front of everybody. And honestly, if someone could write this down, I'd love a paper trail. No, thank you, Shamanda. But if it comes down to it, I'm ready. But the only blood out here is going to be on my hands.
And mine.
And oh, my blood.
Oh,
we're doing
no,
a Spartacus.
No. Oh, no.
Susan, I don't want to go there now, but is there a Lids in town?
Oh, you know what? There's not, but there is a Monette's. And they sell a wide variety of clothing and precious moments.
All right.
No, what I want to check in on this moment is just a small thing, which is, Crashly, how is this for you? You are towering over everybody else here.
Yeah.
Crashly, as we know and remember, you are a ghost currently, yeah, brought back by Susan's magic.
Mm-hmm.
And Chadriel very graciously donated his own body onesie.
Flesh suit. Yeah.
Flesh suit.
Mm-hmm.
To let you reside in.
Yeah.
That is, of course, a Hemsworth-esque looking cowboy body.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that body is clothed or not.
I don't think, yes. I think the answer is yes, because I don't believe, just considering the way Chadriel was talking to me, I don't think he was going to give Crashly like any kind of naked body. Or the way Crashly was talking to Chadriel, really. more appropriately. So... yeah, I think that I'm clothed in like leathers, like fighting leathers.
Yeah.
God, Crashly, this is such a cute outfit.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I look great. I mean, to be honest, like, it's not the body I would choose, but like, I look great.
You're working it.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, here are the two things that I want to establish for this. One, as you are all looking at Crashly, who is super handsome right now.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that distinguishes Crashly, again, the magic that Susan used to bring her back kind of brought her back in sort of like a almost like a fine mist of blood as her like ghost form.
Ugh.
And that reveals itself in this, of the eyes of this body are completely bloodshot, like totally red.
Oh, oh.
Looks like a terrible case of pink eye.
Ugh.
Is what you're seeing, and that's what keys you off that Crashly is in there. The other thing, Susan, you did magic to bring Crashly back as a ghost, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, you didn't do big magic, you just used your move to use magic. Now, here is the thing. By default, your magic, if you just do regular magic, lasts about 30 minutes. I think going into Chadriel's space, it makes total sense that that space wouldn't necessarily follow those rules. But you do know that this keeping Crashly here on this plane is not a one and done permanent thing. Like, you will need to periodically do the spell again to keep Crashly on this material plane.
Okay.
Material plane.
As she goes back. So I just want to make sure we're all aware of that and the need for that, that you will periodically have to. I'm not necessarily going to make it a strict 30 minutes thing, but you know that the magic binding her here is helped by this angelic body, but still the dead want to be dead, and you are violating the normative rules of the universe to keep her here. And so that has consequences of some kind or another. Now, the one thing I'll say is, if you wanted to do like big magic and you wanted to do something more comprehensive to try to keep Crashly here longer, that's totally on the table. You can do that if you want, but big magic takes extra work to do.
I have a question.
Frankly, I would need my... Oh, go ahead, bud.
No, please, please.
I was going to say, I would need my books to do big magic, correct?
So the resurrection is going to be big magic that requires your books that we've established. Whether doing... I think it's up to you to decide if doing a spell that will keep a ghost present longer, whether that's a spell that you would know how to do offhand, or if that's one that you need your books for. It makes sense to me if you're like, I know how to do that spell, but it takes more work than a normal mm-hmm. spell. That's totally fine with me.
Especially with my past, it feels like something I would know.
Agreed. Yeah. Susan has a dark past, and
yeah,
quote unquote, interrogating dead spirits certainly does seem like something she would have done before.
Yes. It's very pushing daisies. So yeah. Maybe I need to either get the books or get some good time is basically where it's at, right?
So yeah, I'll tell you how big magic works, just to remind, because we haven't done it in quite some time, is that in order to do it, there's requirements towards it. I'll read off what they are, and then I'll tell you which one I'm going to pick for this. So the requirements might be that you need to spend a lot of time researching, that you need to experiment with the spell, and that there will be a lot of failures before you get it right, that you need rare and weird ingredients and supplies, that it will take a long time to cast, that you need a lot of people to help cast, that it needs to be cast at a particular place and or time, and that you need to use magic as part of the ritual, or it will have specific side effect or dangers. I think for me, what I will say, it's going to be two things. One, you would definitely need to use magic, and it would be barring a place or portal to a specific person, but it would be doing kind of the inverse. It would be barring Crashly from entering the beyond, right?
Yeah, sure.
It'd be doing a spell to force her to stay here. Beyond that, I think the thing is, there are some ingredients that are very specific that you would need to cast the spell that you just don't currently have. Mm-hmm. You might be able to collect them here in this black site area of Barora, or if you find some other means to get them, that's totally fine. I'm going to let you describe what the ingredients are, but that's what it is going to be. You'll need to use magic to keep her here, and you'll need some rare and weird ingredients and or supplies.
I also, can I ask a question real quick? If it doesn't work, if like for whatever reason we're not able to keep me here, that doesn't bar resurrection though, right?
A, that doesn't bar resurrection, and B, that does not bar Susan doing the spell again to bring the ghost back.
Okay, cool.
So like you could also, Susan, if you wanted, is just every 30 minutes stop and do the spell to bring Crashly back as a ghost. Okay. That might have problems on its
exactly.
own.
Exactly. Yep. Well, one of the ingredients, one of the rare ones that you would think would be rare anywhere, is dirt from a witch's grave.
Mm-hmm.
But Barora, Nebraska actually has a witch's grave of what? Susan A. Gaves.
I'm on it. And I run to the cemetery.
Oh, it's I'm sorry. It's Susan A. Gavin. Susan A. Gavin.
I don't know if I hear this.
Okay, so dirt from a witch's grave. Do you remember offhand what the other ingredients are, or is Susan going to work on remembering as she goes?
Susan's working on remembering because she has one big hit from Barora.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll say there are three ingredients that you need. One of them is dirt from a witch's grave. We will explore further to do the others. Now, here's what we're going to do. You say that, and Adam Miller, you set off like a bolt towards the graveyard mm-hmm. that you can see relatively nearby. You guys are at the edge of town looking out on this spot. You can see these things here. This feels pretty risky.
Yeah.
So as you guys watch Adam Miller run off, what do the rest of you do?
Shamanda's going to roll for sect resources. Because Adam's about to do something dumb and she's going to need some extra help.
No.
No, it's not dumb.
Absolutely.
6 plus weird. My weird is 2. It's going to be an 8.
Great. So you get one hold for your sect resources.
All right. This is not me using my hold, but I'm like, oh, I got to remember that Jumpin' Jack Flash class I took, and I pew, take off.
Yeah, yeah. Just the memory of it is enough to give you a little boost to your speed as you chase after Adam.
And I'll tell you what, it's about a 5-minute walk to the cemetery, but a 6-minute Adam run.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
6-minute mile is pretty average.
Oh, yeah, but is it a
That's
mile?
That's pretty good.
No, it's not. No.
I think that Crashly's also going to try to help by running towards the cemetery, but gets there so fast in this.
Yeah, you quickly overtake
body. Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. CEJ, what are you doing?
I want to try swinging my hammer around.
Great. What are you swinging it at? Well, if you're just swinging it in the air, it's just going through. It makes kind of a small crack every time you swing it. Like every time you finish it, it just seems like it's like hitting air, and the air is making just a sound.
Yes. So I'm just wandering around doing that, and under my breath, I'm kind of like, when a problem comes around, you must whip it.
Great. So, Susan, you watch three of your kids bolt towards the graveyard as soon as you mention a grave, and you watch CEJ just sort of tool around, hammer in the air. What do you do, Susan?
So all I have left is CEJ.
See, yeah, he's around.
Yeah. I didn't mean it like that either. So I guess I'm just going to kind of get CEJ arm in arm, and we're going to walk there together.
Great.
And just take some time to check in on the siege.
Why are you touching me?
No reason. 100% not because I think you'll get lost somehow walking 2 feet away from me.
Are you serious? I'm not going to get lost in whatever town this is.
See, you don't remember the name of the town, buddy.
Okay, how can I get lost here? There's one street.
How you doing?
Me?
How have things been?
I mean, I don't know. I'm all right.
Yeah?
I guess.
You grown a little beard?
No. What? Can I roll for a beard?
You tell me. Can CEJ roll for beard?
May he?
We can roll to see if it's like coming in really like embarrassing.
Yeah. Babe, you know it's coming in bad.
I think that's going to be... I think that's got to be roll plus cool, right?
Okay, sweet. So I got an 8.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, I think I'm growing like some little mutton chops.
Nice. Yeah, you do. You have some sizable mutton chops growing in. And as you guys are reflecting on that, we're going to cut over to Adam Miller. Well, no, I guess we're going to cut over to Crashly because you get there first.
Yeah.
You run into the cemetery of Barora, Nebraska. You're looking for the headstone of Susan A. Gavin, witch. Mm-hmm. What are you doing when you run in?
Yeah, I'm using my height to scan from like what feels like sitting on someone's shoulders for Crashly. So like I'm using my height to look at lots of graves at one time rather than being more like eye level with them. And I'm also feeling a little wary. So like scanning for threats.
Yeah, I think from that and scanning through, you see like over by one of the few, this isn't a large cemetery, but there are a few small mausoleums, and you see a shadow sort of move and then furtively like hide behind one of the mausoleums there.
Oh, behind a mausoleum. Okay. I'm actually going to, can I see how close my friends are?
Yeah, let's say Shamanda runs up behind and gives you a little boo.
Damn it. Shamanda.
What? Yeah. Oh, gosh. I've just been running. I just haven't had a good run in a minute. This looks like properly spooky.
Yeah, there's somebody hiding behind that mausoleum, I think.
Hey, you!
Oh, my God. Shamanda.
What? I'm not afraid. We just went to an extra-dimensional space. I'm not going to be afraid of some, like...
Oh, my God.
Sorry, guys.
Damn it.
Sorry, guys.
See, Shamanda, see how it feels?
I tripped over.
Are you okay?
Yeah, sorry. There's a slight incline.
And then, Crashly, you see coming around the mausoleum, 6 foot, just built. Familiar shape of Tori Powell's, and she has a weapon out and drawn. She's like, kids, you get away from that guy, okay? If you're not safe, you say it, okay? Sir, I got this on you.
Tori, hello. Tori.
There's no reason you should know this, but it's me. It's Crashly.
Yeah. Tori, it's Crashly.
It's cool.
She's wearing an angel's skin suit. Everything's fine. Put the shovel down. It's okay.
I get it.
And as you're saying that, Tori's like, oh, that's what that smell is. Ugh.
No, that's not what that is.
Bill.
Oh, damn it.
She shoots her gun in the air.
Oh, no.
Don't waste ammo, Tori. Stop being such a scaredy cat. It's just Susan and CEJ.
Whoa.
Where the hell have you been? I came through the bounce. I came through the other side. I was woozy all to hell. I looked behind me. Nobody was there.
Tori, have I got a story for you that you're going to think I'm making up? We got stuck. And my and well, not my angel, an angel that I used to
date.
That I used to know. And we got stuck in their alter dimensional space because he thought he was helping us.
Classic Susan Paramore.
Also, I died.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and OK, I am so sorry to bear the lead, but Crashly has died and we're going to need to re-up the spell here soon.
Yeah. Right. I was with you when we brought Crashly back the first time.
I am so sorry.
Sorry, you know, I mentioned it again. Wow. Was it weird to mention that I died again?
Kind
of. Focusing on it too much? What?
Hey, Crash.
Sorry.
From the bottom of the incline Adam had to climb up, I wave at everyone. I go, guys, look at this. And I swing my hammer and it goes, crack.
Do you swing it at the ground or at the air?
I'm going to hit a tombstone with it.
The tombstone just snaps and goes like 10 feet.
This is why I was holding your arm.
Can I check if that was the proper headstone?
Yeah, sure. Roll to, at this point, then I would say, Shamanda, go ahead and just do, let's say, this is a what's going on here. You're going to go over and look at it, study it closely. So roll plus sharp.
Plus sharp. Great. So I rolled an 11 plus my sharp is a 1. Damn. So that's a 12. Wow.
That's a total 12. Yes. I'll answer honestly any questions that you have.
Sharp.
Wow.
So the question is this it? I think, yeah. I think as you're looking at it, you see this is Susan A, G, and then the rest is sort of cut off from the sharp line.
Huh. Susan, are you named after this witch?
Oh. Oh. Well, maybe.
Hmm. Shamanda takes out a little sandwich baggie out of her jean jacket and just scoops up some dirt into the Ziploc. There you go.
And do you kids see this chain around the grave? That's so her soul can't get into heaven. Let's go.
Whoa. Should we remove it?
Yeah, let's take it off.
I mean, it doesn't work. Oh. But yeah, we can take it. Symbolically, we can take it off.
Yeah. I'm learning so much about your culture, Miss Wexler. It's so very interesting and macabre.
Shamanda, thank you so much.
And Tori is just like, wait, why are y'all being so casual? Do you not realize what's going on here?
No.
It's a defense mechanism.
She grabs you, Susan, and she pulls you over and she's like, there are Bondelgrab buds all over this place. Okay, I don't know what's going on, but they are returning. All right, they're coming back. Whatever Barb had going on here, it's gone sideways. There, Susan, there ain't people left in this town anymore. Whatever's here is at least part or all Bondelgrab.
My God.
I'm going to grab, like, Tori's, not grab, but, like, clutch onto her wrist and be like, I know. But there's a lot of emotional matchers in this group. And if I freak out, they're going to freak out.
All right.
We got an empath back here, you know?
I read you. All right.
And I read you.
And I'm starting to worry.
And I read you both. Yes. Shamanda from across the way. It's like, does the fingers to the eyes, like, I read you both. You can't hide anything from me.
Yeah,
I'm just going to do the fingers back to her.
Shamanda, do you want to do an empath check on Susan?
Oh, or sure. Tori? Can I do both?
Yeah, sure. In this moment.
I think it's both the same.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to be 6.
Oh, okay. Your brain is going to be overwhelmed with emotion. As you open up to them, Shamanda, Susan is terrified.
Yeah, no, that's what I would say.
Yeah, Susan's like, this is, you realize in this moment, Susan is bringing herself to a place where she needs to confront every skeleton in her closet at once. And you realize, like, the scale of this is this is not like light or easy, that this is like Susan, what you realize looking at Susan's emotion and Tori, Susan and Tori are both aware that the world could become something much more horrible depending on how well you succeed at what you're aiming to do here, that there is a ton of pressure on as something that truly seeks to consume everything in the world is possibly about to get free rein. And you experience just the full weight of that. And I'm going to have you take an emotional condition as that bears down on you. What do you take?
I'm going to take angry. As I say, in this moment, we all need to collectively nut up. We are 16 years old, give or take a couple because of Crashly. And we've been through quite a bit. And if there was any moment to prove anyone wrong about how teenagers are reluctant, misbehaving, and just full-on ding-dongs, it would be now.
Hey, did you guys see what I did to that tombstone?
Yeah.
Yeah, CJ.
You have this new incredible power and a brand new life. Don't muck it up like you did the first time.
Oh, damn, Jamie.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you.
Adam. Don't just break stuff just because you can.
I know. I agree. Oh, you're talking about the Saturn, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Nut up, Adam. And Crashly, I like the way your body looks. I'm going to be honest.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna get over that for the cause. But I just got to say, hey, I like the way your body looks.
Thank you. I like to hear that, you know?
And I think with that, then, Shamanda, you are going to take over, it seems like, here. And you all have an objective you're trying to get to. You're trying to find Barb and the books. And so, Shamanda, I think you have appointed yourself leader at this point, and we're going to use a little move I've created for the Black Site. As you all walk forward to explore the unknown depths of the Barora, Nebraska Black Site, Shamanda, you have sort of elected yourself in this moment as the leader of the group for the moment. So this move is called Keep It Covert, is at least what I'm tentatively calling it. And the way that it's going to work is like this. As you're walking forward, Shamanda, where are you guys headed? What do you see that you're like, I want to go explore that, or I think that's the right direction, or whatnot?
In my mind, I'm thinking that Barb is a grade A butthole, and she has all this power, and I'm sure there's one place that she kept regular in this world of chaos because she is such a control freak. And I asked Wexler, like, where is the one place in the world, the one thing in this town that your sister loved more than anything? We go there.
Okay. What would be the one thing that she, you know, it's so much easier to name things that she dislikes beyond things she actually loves.
Okay. Well, maybe something that you really love that she hates.
Okay, that's, now we're talking, everybody.
Okay.
To the library, to the Alice M. Farr library site.
Great. Yeah, so as you look out over this sort of bombed out, overgrown wasteland of a town, you do see inside the fenced off area that sort of comprises this, what looks like almost a government facility, you do see kind of, it stands out, there is just a small public library that is there, and it rests sort of nudged in between the buildings. It looks like they've been built up around it on all sides, kind of keeping its structural integrity, but joined with it. And you can see that you will need to make your way in. So I guess the question to you then, Shamanda, you know where you're headed is for that. To get there, you'll need to go through town and into this sort of labyrinth of buildings. Are you going for like a street, or are you trying to go on roofs or buildings, or what's your way to get towards this complex?
I see a fire escape at the end of the block, and I motion for everyone to follow me. We're going to climb to the top. We're going to go rooftop to rooftop.
Great. Dang. Roll plus sharp.
7 plus 1 is 8.
Nice.
Great. Now here's how this works. On an 8, on a 7 to 9, you are going to gain 1. So we're going to be making a little pool of points. So this is 1 point that you have.
Yes.
And you guys will be encountering a danger. Now, when you have 3 points, you'll be able to find Barb. At any point, you can spend 3 points to find Barb. You can also spend a point at any time to make a discovery. So that is also possible. But currently, as you guys jump from rooftop to rooftop, you will encounter a danger. Now, I need to know, with the 2 dice that you rolled, what each dice total was. So
2 and a 5.
A 2 and a 5. The 2 is going to determine what kind of danger it is. The 5 is going to determine within that, more specifically, what is going on. So 2 decides a trap. As you guys jump from rooftop to rooftop, what's your order? Who's leading?
Susan.
Susan's leading, and then probably Tori taking up the rear. Is that
the caboose?
Great. And then within the kids, who's in the front? Who's in the back?
I think Crashly should be in the front.
Yeah, I think so too.
Great. And then
I'm probably near the back.
Well, CEJ. CEJ's got that big sword, so he should be in front of Tori.
A hammer. Yeah.
Hammer.
I'll be right in the middle.
Great. So it goes Susan, Crashly.
I think it goes Susan, Crashly, myself, Adam, CEJ, Tori.
That all checks out.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, great. As you all run through, you're jumping from place to place. You're at this overhang that you basically see a way to jump down from the roof you're on into the complex over the fence. However, a power line has fallen down and is sparking across this roof. It's about 30 feet off the ground, so it's like too far to just like go and jump off the side of the building. You can go back all the way you came, but in this moment you encounter just this sparking electric power line that is just live and dangerous. They're blocking your way. What do you guys do?
Tyler, could I use weird science to help shut it down?
Ooh. You can try to, sure.
I'm going to do that.
Okay, great. So what are you doing? And weird science is you're going to create or adapt a device to deal with strangeness. So say what it will do and then roll plus weird. So what are you doing?
So I use my eyeballs to follow the live wire to the breaker where it's connected. And I can see that if I pull out a certain number of wires, that'll shut it down. But I have to use shoelaces to do that safely.
Fair enough. Okay, roll plus weird.
5.
Oh no. I help.
A sigh gave it away.
Yeah. I was so excited.
Okay, so Susan, you're going to help?
Yeah.
Okay, roll plus cool.
Oh, good. Okay, so it's a 10 plus.
Cool.
Okay,
and
great.
I'm finding the plus, but I think it's already passed.
Yeah,
right?
That's totally fine. So so then, Adam, you get to re-roll one of your dice.
I'm going to re-roll the 1.
Okay, fair enough.
And now it's a 2.
Hey. Ah, so it's a 6?
Oh. Yes, it is.
And no one else can help, right?
No, nobody can help. Yeah. The other option...
It's been a good run.
Yeah. So, Adam, you get...
Electrocuted.
Completely electrified. Yeah, you accidentally grab one of the live wires and you feel it course through. You're going to take 2 harm as the rest of you watch Adam grab on, and then you can just see electricity coursing through him. You can see his hand, the muscles constrict and grab, and you can see he's unable to let go as these wires are just pushing energy through him. What do the rest of you do as he is electrified?
I'd like to use one of my hold from my sec resources to pull out a rubber glove, and I grab Adam and yank him away from the electric thing.
Okay, great. That's going to be your spend of hold for the time being. So great. Yeah, you do that. You grab that. You have the rubber there, and you're able to do what you want and break the electric chain. And
we all know science. We all know how
I'm
it works.
Really blanking on the word, but we all know what I mean.
The conduit.
You make it stop conducting electricity, and Adam is freed, and he falls into your arms.
I said, "Nut up, not barbecue yourself."
I kind of want to pick him up because I'm real, real strong.
I pass him over to you.
I'll just hold him.
You. Yeah, this guy in leathers just holds you in his arms like a little baby.
Tyler, let me ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
So electricity sparked in my body. I don't know if this has any effect on the chip, but I'm just, I don't know.
You know, at this point, you've already dealt with the chip.
Okay, cool.
Pretty significantly. So I'm not going to like continue to.
Hey, I love it.
Tackle you with that. Yeah, I mean, you're allowed to tell
us. I got my
us
own problems.
Yeah, if you want to have it do some weird thing, that's fine with me, but I'm not. No, the bigger problem is you have not turned the electricity off. This live wire is still coursing over the roof and
ta-da!
In the way. So yeah, Adam unfortunately is unable to stop the electricity. What do you all do to get past this?
Well, now we have this rubber glove.
Yeah. Now you have a rubber glove. Now this might be a moment where we introduce another move I made up as like a parting gift from Chadriel. Mm. So Chadriel worked with you all, taught you the power of teamwork, the power of being honest with each other. So in his memory, I have made a move called Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. And when you work together to overcome an obstacle, you can describe your goal and then we will roll as a group. And you can work together to try to overcome it as a group. Would this be a moment in which you all would come together and work together?
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I believe it.
So loosely describe to me, what's the goal in this? How are you trying to overcome this live wire?
If there's a breaker of some sort, if we can just shut off power entirely, I think this live wire will be dead.
Okay, great. So here is what we're going to say. Then this seems like a smart sort of situation. So everybody roll plus sharp.
That's a 9 total.
I also got a 9.
Okay.
I got an 8.
Okay.
I also got an 8.
I mean...
Oh, no.
I don't understand what's going on. But it is a 5.
Okay, great. Hey. Here's how this works.
Not everyone has to be on point.
No. So as you guys all go to do this, so the way that this works, for each of you that got a mixed success, you are going to run into a hiccup. You're going to describe what happened and how you overcame it to successfully work towards the goal. Adam, you are going to run into trouble and you're going to describe what went wrong. So I think it makes sense to do this in reverse order. Adam, as you guys all go to try to do again what you set out the first time, you're trying to get this breaker to turn off the electricity. What do you do to try to help the team towards that? And what goes wrong?
Well, I think I relate electricity with lightning. I'm like, well, lightning can't strike twice. And I do the exact same thing I just did.
Okay, so you do the exact same thing and you get electrified the exact same way.
Yeah, do I get the same amount of damage?
Yeah, you're going to take another 2 harm. Adam starts going up pretty rough. The rest of you, how are you going to work together to deal with the breaker box?
So can we see the breaker? So I'm going to, I'll put Adam down and then I'll lift somebody up to reach it because I'm very strong. You see?
Great. And as you're doing that, you do run into a hiccup. So what goes a little off for you when you're doing that, Crashly, and how do you overcome it?
It turns out like I'm strong. This body is strong, but I don't have any skills or like I'm very awkward in it. I don't know really how to utilize it. So as I'm picking up, Shamanda to like have her help her reach it, I'm just like my like hand is like in a weird place in her butt and like my shoulder like really hurts from her standing up. Not because I can't hold her up, but just because it's like, I don't know how to leverage myself. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And feeling like I could crumble at any moment, I'm going to work as quickly as I can to use my rubber glove to basically big red lever, shut this thing off.
Great. But you also run into a hiccup, Shamanda, because you got the same role. So what goes a little wrong for you that you're able to overcome?
As Crashly is lifting me up, my belt buckle slips and my pants fall down to my ankles.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So embarrassing.
Yeah. Crashly accidentally pantses you.
Yeah.
Yeah. CEJ and Susan, what are you two doing to help with the breaker?
So I wanted to get a better vantage point. So I was going to do like this really cool jump with my flashlight and just kind of stick the landing. And I made it to the spot, but I just totally biffed it. And I know somewhere in the back of my head that Barb either saw it or is going to hear about it.
Yeah, you just hear it like, just from the empty air around you.
That's so bad.
Yeah. What about you, CEJ? What are you doing?
I think I'm going to try to sneak one more hammer hit on my on another tombstone.
But we're not even in the gravestone. We're so Alan.
Did you bring a piece of tombstone with you?
Yeah, the one I broke, I have it with me.
You brought the witch's tombstone with you?
Oh my God.
Great.
Well, it's broken.
It's a huge mistake.
So you just like throw it in the air and hit it like a baseball?
I think I want to try to set it up so that it's standing upright, and then I'm going to take a crack at it.
Okay, great. Yeah, you stand the like 2-foot by 3-foot piece of stone that you've been pulling with you.
Yeah.
And you hit it. Great. You do. You encounter a hiccup as well. What happens and how do you overcome it?
It singes your beard off.
The hiccup. I think the name on the tombstone is like.
It's Susan.
Susan A. Gavin.
Susan A. Gavin. Oh,
that's right. Yeah. I forgot there was already a name. Okay. So yeah, I think you. Okay. So I smash it, and a bunch of the letters break up, but in the air for a hot second, the only letters that remain are in order of Susan A. Gavin. So it just spells you, and then again, and it makes me feel like something's watching me.
Yeah. And I think that causes you to back up a little bit in surprise and knock into Adam, who then careens forward into the breaker box. And as he was climbing on Shamanda's shoulders to try to help, and Adam, you are again electrified.
Is this the second time? Not the third time. Okay.
I'm going to try to grab Adam while he's getting electrocuted and pull him out of there.
No, don't do that.
Okay, great. Oh, no. Go ahead and roll to act under pressure.
Oh, yeah. Buddy.
I got you, buddy.
You're just going to get electrocuted.
I know.
I got an 8. Wait, maybe act under pressure.
Roll plus cool, yeah.
Yeah, 8.
Okay, so I will give you a worst outcome, a hard choice, or a price to pay. Yeah, I think the price to pay on this is you pull Adam free, and in doing so, between that and Shamanda's, you guys are able to stop this flow, but you do make contact with Adam long enough that you take 1 point of harm yourself. This is just for CEJ.
Oh, sorry for my scoff.
As the electricity courses through.
Okay.
But you all successfully do manage to remove the electrical inputs from this breaker box and can pass forward. As you walk in towards the overhang, you can see the site below you. And what do you do at this point?
Well, I want to spy inside there. I want to like see if I can see anything inside the site.
Okay, Crashly, go ahead. And I think this is what's going on here.
I think so, too.
Can I like hold your legs, Crashly, as you like lean over?
If you can hold this body up, yes. I got an 11.
Okay, wow. Great. Oh, shit. Yeah. Crashly, yeah. You can ask me any question and I'll answer honestly and any follow-up questions you have.
Okay, what's the best way for us to get in as safely as possible?
Let's see. The best way for you to get in safely.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys climb down you can climb down the fence that's sort of adjacent to this building. This was all built, it seems, a bit in a hurry. So whereas normally you would want to keep like a clear distance between any neighboring buildings and the fence, this they kind of built right up against it. So you could climb down the fence. If you throw something over like the barbed wire on the top, you climb down and then you see an entrance there that's just sort of open. It looks like, you know, at one point it was probably locked. You can see a keypad and everything, but the door is just open and nobody seems to be there. And that seems the safest for you to enter in.
I'm going to relay that to everyone else and suggest that we do that.
Great. I think then, Crashly, you are taking over the role of leader in this, so I'm going to have you roll plus sharp.
Let's go.
I got an 11 again.
Crashly.
Great. Wow. Crashly, as you guys want, so as Crashly kind of nudges you guys forward, you gain one again, so you guys have two now.
We're going to find her.
You are going to make a discovery as you walk into the hallway. Crashly, what are the two numbers you rolled?
I rolled a 6 and a 3, and then I had a plus 2.
A 6 and a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is, you are going to see signs of what happened here.
Ooh.
As you enter in, you kind of motion folks in, and you walk into a total shit show. Just alarms, like light alarms flashing. The strobes that everybody in Barora, Nebraska love are going off all up and down this long concrete corridor leading into this facility. There is blood and viscera and guts on the walls and on the floor. It looks like horrific things have happened here. And you can see, looking down, that there are a series of doors that look like they're almost like holding cell doors. And quite a few of them have been opened either by opening or by being ripped off the hinges or being like exploded out. Whatever things were being held in this particular area seem to have gotten loose either through assistance of something external or through their own means, and seems like taken revenge. Most importantly, what you see one room that is particularly covered in viscera as you are walking down and you're looking in. And this room, you look into this room, and it's stacked in the corner of this sort of bare concrete room with a poor fluorescent lighting, is a pile of bodies. They're small. Mm. They're about 1 foot tall.
Mm.
And they are ripped apart. And you've never seen so many defeathered chicken in your entire life.
Oh, no.
Bondelgrab. And Susan has shared about the Bondelgrab with us, right? So like we would
all. You met one of its buds in Rhinelanders.
Wait, what? What the heck is a Bondelgrab?
Oh, God, CJ.
I should say most of you have met it. Yeah.
Right. Oh, sweet chicken.
No, don't touch it.
That's so gross.
It's gross.
What? It's a vicious being that will rip you limb from limb. Do you want to end up like those featherless freaks?
I mean, I'm already featherless.
Do you want your pork chop sideburns to be ripped off?
Okay, pork no. Chop. I've been working really hard on these.
Oh, yeah? Or hardly working.
Good one. What?
Anyway. That was a burn on your side.
You got burned by a fuse box.
That was a good one, CJ, but I'll admit it. Even I will. But
what was mine? Was mine good?
No.
Well, I just said CJ's was, but listen, look, the Bondelgrab is here and like here.
So what? You guys fight monsters all the time. I mean, I'm sure you're going to be fine. You just beat it up or whatever and use the magics and then there's a new one. That's how it always goes. No. Okay. So I'm going to go back to the cemetery.
No. Hold on to my arm and I'm going to hold on to CJ's arm and roll and open my third eye.
Okay, great. So, Susan, then you're going, when you open your third eye, that involves doing what's going on here, right? So, go ahead and roll plus sharp.
That is 6 plus sharp is 2, so 8.
Okay, great. Yeah, you can ask me a question, and I will answer with cryptic or incomplete information, but tell you how you can find out more.
Is the Bondelgrab still here? Inside the library, I mean.
Inside the library, here is how I'll answer it. And also, Susan, on an 8, you have advantage on your next roll.
Thank you. Is
what it is with the third eye. In terms of giving you cryptic or incomplete information to the question, is the Bondelgrab still here? You notice one other thing. In the other corner of the room is a large pool of water. And I think Adam Miller, as you guys are all talking with CEJ and stuff, you look over and you see... It looked inky and dark at first, the whole pool of water. And then you watch like the rear legs of a toad and the long fin of a fish and tail start to appear in the water.
Hey.
And then a head pull up, but the head is crocodilian.
Guys,
what the hell?
But it's all covered in this sort of black ink. And it just goes, ooh.
Guys, we got a grub.
So what I will tell you guys is I have made a list of over 164 cryptids and legendary creatures.
Wow.
And anytime that we encounter something, I'm going to roll, and that will dictate what specific bud you encounter.
Wow.
Oh, genius.
As wow. these creatures return.
Ooh.
And as that is crawling out of the water and you're all turning to look, Crashly, you can feel your place in the material plane starting to wane, and you realize that the spell Susan has cast is starting to wear off. What do you say to Susan?
I say, I don't feel so good. I think I'm going to have to go, or you might have to do that thing again. Otherwise, I'm going to have to jump in somebody else's head. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Okay.
First priority.
I'm going to jump in somebody else's
don't
head.
Don't do that. First priority is you. Nothing else going on here.
Okay.
And that's where we'll end our episode for today.
What a good one.
Oh, no.
Thanks so much for listening, Monster Hunters. If you enjoyed this, give us a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcast, or give us a shout out on social media at Mystery County. To show your support even more, join our Patreon for extra content, special deliveries, and occasional game nights. Until next time, watch out for downed power lines. Stay alert, stay safe.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And Aaron, I love that idea. I'm fine with that. If what you want to establish is if Susan doesn't do the spell, you can stay, but you can only stay by jumping into somebody else's body.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I have to be refreshed in the body.
That's totally fine with me. It's okay. Either you leave or you possess another living body.
Yeah, I do think that the meat body, even though it's not technically living, will always be like the ideal place for me to go.
No, the meat body is definitely living. It's just there's no brain, right. You know?
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like CJ. Cool.
Hey, burn.
Is Alan all right? Alan, are you okay? What's wrong with Alan?
I've never laughed so hard.
Oh, my God. Claire, are you okay?
Chortles. I haven't been okay for 9 years.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.